You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
A chronic disease is defined as a condition that lasts 1 year or more and requires ongoing medical attention, or one that limits activity of daily living. Now, these health issues include heart disease, cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and chronic kidney or lung disease. Now, the CDC states that 6 out of 10 adults in America suffer from a chronic disease, and 4 in 10 have 2 or more. Now, these diseases are also the leading drivers of the nation's $3.3 trillion in annual healthcare costs. Now, what's really interesting is that most of these chronic illnesses are caused by a very short list of risk behaviors, such as poor nutrition, lack of physical activity, tobacco use, or even this, or exposure to secondhand smoke, and excessive alcohol use. Today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Howard Jacobson. He is the co-author of the best-selling book, Sick to Fit, as well as the Chief Behavioral Science Officer and co-founder of WellStart Health. He's here to talk about the role of nutrition, lifestyle, and chronic disease. Great to have you here, Howard.
It's a delight to be here. Thanks so much, Suzanne.
You bet. Yeah, you know, before we jump right into your thoughts on chronic illnesses and how we can start steering our health back to optimal state of well-being, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get interested in the health and the wellness space?
Yeah, it started for me literally the week after my father died of a heart attack. I was in my early 20s and he was 71 and it felt like this was way too soon. And he had been sick for a while. He had prostate cancer and I really wanted to help him. So I went and tried to do some research on like what could help, what could prevent the spread, what could slow it down. And there really wasn't a lot that was known. This was in 1987, 1988, 1990, he died. And I kind of felt like, well, this is how things are. You know, we're these faulty machines. We break down, we die, and there's not that much we can do about it. And I wasn't willing to let it go at that. And I kept on kind of being interested and looking and reading. And eventually I discovered that there was this entire world of nutritional health, of best practices, of people throughout the world who lived healthy, disease-free, long lives. And because they weren't being studied in randomized controlled trials and laboratories, the data was not being looked at and given the weight that it should have been. And so we've discovered that there are populations in the world that are virtually free of most of the chronic diseases that we suffer from. And so all we had to do was begin to model them, copy them, and then put it to the test. And so now we know what a lot of the risk factors are of prostate cancer, what are a lot of the risk factors of heart disease, of diabetes. And it really makes me angry that most people are walking around, including a lot of medical professionals, I'm sad to say, in the same state of ignorance of cause as I was in the late 80s.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that when it comes to, we know a lot of science now, Howard. We know the changes of the diet, changes of your lifestyle, but there's a problem here. Most people don't want to do it, right? That's what I come across. You know, I've been working with natural medicine, integrative functional medicine, and people come to see me after they've gone to 4, 5, sometimes even 10 doctors. And why is it that, you know, that's what I'd love to also talk about. These chronic illnesses, not just for the fact that they've got we are living in a more toxic world. We've got a lot of pesticide exposure. We've got food problems. The food industry is really crappy, all that. But it's also, I think, the individual, they have a tough time making changes in their lives.
Well, yeah, because as you said, we live in this toxic world, and it's toxic not only in its material content, but in the culture. So like human beings, there's no animal on the planet that goes for things that are bad for it, right? Because they would have died out. They wouldn't have been able to survive the evolutionary rodeo. But we're living now in a society in which there's a profound mismatch between our biology and our natural behaviors, our defaults, and the things that are available to us. So to give an example, any creature worth its salt, if it came across an excess source of calories, would be opportunistic and eat as many of those as it could, because who knows when it's going to eat again? Who knows when there's going to be a famine? Who knows when there's going to be a drought? And that's good evolutionary dice rolling. But now we live in a world where I can get a Snickers bar at Home Depot. I'm never more than 2 minutes away from sugar, fat, salt, highly processed food, like crazy quantities of animal products. And therefore, the thing that worked for me as a, you know, evolutionarily for my species is now fighting against me. So I think it's we have to be careful when we blame individuals for their choices when the environment is set up to push all our buttons that were installed for completely different purposes.
That I totally get. What I'm not saying is I'm not blaming. What it is that I find that it's often it's the way we've been trained, the way we've been taught by our parents, how we eat. You know, it's just an ongoing battle. So what we've got to do as adults and even for our children is to teach them different types of mindset and looking at the way food really is. And it's slowly happening. I know that it is. You know, people like you and I that are speaking more about this, that it's not just about going on a diet. You really got to train the mind, train your emotional state as well. You have in your book, Sick to Fit, you talk about that 1% solution, right? Yes. It's a mindset.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I couldn't agree more that we need to teach people how to change their mindsets. And so one of the first things that people need is the belief that it's possible. So if you go to your doctors and you're pre-diabetic and you say, "Oh, gee, doc, what can I do?" And the doctor says, "Well, don't worry about it. We'll give you some metformin, and eventually you'll go on insulin. You know, that's just the way things go. But we'll keep you comfortable and keep the blood sugars under control as best we can." You go home and, you know, doctors are still highly respected in our society. And that doctor has just given you a kind of a curse of non-agency, that there's nothing you can do. When people hear, you know, my co-author Josh Lajani's story of how he went from 420 pounds to being a competitive athlete to making it to the cover of Runner's World, when they see different people who have actually, you know, reversed their diabetes to the point where if we were allowed to say cure by the FDA, we would, that, you know, then they have hope. And they say, okay, so there is possibility. I do have some agency. And if I want to, I can make a huge dent in this disease. Whereas I think the message they're getting is, you know, well, cut back, take the skin off your chicken, eat a little less dessert. And if you give people sort of vague, tiny bits of advice like that, they're going to get vague, tiny outcomes. So I think we have to educate people that the possibilities of reversal of disease are out there. And so if the diet seems extreme, well, the results can also be extreme.
Let's go into the nutritional role, you know, of chronic illnesses. And what you know, when we look at the research and the science that the statistics that 6 out of 10 of us are suffering, well, that obviously is a huge amount. It's, you know, that's part of the reason why we're all so sick and dying with all these diseases. So tell us where to start. Let's talk about nutrition. Where should we start? And how being having coaches, health coaches, to me, that's really important, having support. With that, do you use journaling as a way to help tell people work through that? I know on your wellstarthealth.com website, you've got a lot of programs that help people that are suffering from all sorts of conditions. So let's go into that a little bit about the nutrition and then how support is so important.
Sure. The nutrition is quite simple. The way we think of it is we want to be eating what human beings could have naturally attained in those quantities throughout history. So we're not promoting any particular dogma around diet, but just human beings should eat what human beings have evolved to eat, which is, if you think about it, we basically want to eat things that don't run away from us because they're easier to catch, right? It's easier to catch kale and spinach than a rabbit. So lots of greens, lots of tubers, high fiber foods. So basically plant matter that's in, as unprocessed a state as possible. So, you know, sort of lightly cooked, lightly steamed, chopped. But, you know, that should be the predominant factor in our diet. If people choose to include animal products, you know, a couple times a week, certainly try to get, you know, organic or wild caught. I don't think they're necessary. There's no evidence that they're for the vast majority of people, they're necessary for the diet. But we're not asking people to change their identities around food, simply to go back to, you know, talked about family, to go back to what their families were eating 200 years ago, unless they were like, you know, European royalty and they could afford unhealthy diets, right? So 200 years ago, every peasant was eating what I would recommend that people eat today. Lots of whole grains, vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, legumes, and herbs and spices.
Which is basically natural food, food that you can find in earth, that you can pick off of a tree, nothing in a box, right?
Right. It's that simple. It's, you know, 200 years ago, you would have called this food. Now we're calling it like natural food or health food or weirdo food. But, in, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is what, you know, animals like us eat. We have these digestive systems. We have, you know, if you look at your teeth and you compare them to, let's say, a jaguar or a wolf, we are definitely not obligate carnivores. We're not supposed to like run after things and rip their flesh with our teeth. We're meant to eat lots and lots of grains and vegetables. We've got all these wonderful grinders. We've got a digestive system that is perfect for handling starch, and we have a brain that runs on sugar. So like all these are really good clues as to the kinds of foods that promote our health.
Well, great. You know, I also like that, you know, going back to that 1% concept that you have in your book, and I've even found it on your website, wellstarthealth.com. I really love the fact that you're not all about all or nothing. You know, just start something. 1%, even a little bit, will help. So instead of having, let's say, a lot of meat, let's go back into using other types of vegetables. Even one change. It could be beans, or it could be a bigger salad, more vegetables, just something that you can change. It doesn't have to be all. Isn't that right? You don't have to be a perfectionist.
Right. In fact, being a perfectionist is a sneaky way of failing. For almost everyone, because like when people come to us and they want to lose weight or they want to reverse disease, we're not the first person. We're not the first program that they've come to. Often we are the last resort. So they've tried every diet under the sun. They've got signed up for gym memberships. They've tried all this stuff, and their experience is, well, I can do it for a while. I can do it for a week or a month or 6 months, but eventually I fall off the wagon and then I gain all the weight back plus tax. And so there's nothing special about our program that's going to stop them from doing that unless we teach them how to develop a different mindset. And the 1% mindset, the mindset of make a small shift, is what is the smallest thing you can do that you will be able to sustain? So there's no wagon to fall off of. So if we're going to say, like, to give you a ridiculous example, someone wants to eat more salad. So we say, okay, have a baby carrot before lunch every day. Can you do that? I'm like, yeah. And that's not something someone's going to fall off the wagon. They're not going to, like, you know, if they miss it for a day, they're not going to like wail and moan and go, oh, I failed. They would just the next day, oh, I forgot yesterday. So let me put the carrots in a more prominent place in the fridge, take it out before lunch and eat it. And so now we're building a habit that we can then build on from there. It's like saying, you know, if I want to become a millionaire, and I want to save money until I have $1 million in the bank. Well, I'm not going to save any money until I have $1 million, right? So habits compound on themselves. The more we do them and see ourselves doing them and be successful doing them, the more likely we are to be able to handle bigger habits over time. So perfectionism is actually a formula for failure, and taking things in small bite-sized pieces that we build our capability and our confidence over time is the path to getting to that perfection in the end.
I love what you're saying about tiny habits. You know, BJ Fogg, his book, Tiny Habits, and his work on tiny habits. And that's what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah. I took a course with BJ a while back, and I found it so simple and brilliant. I was a little jealous that I hadn't thought of it myself. But, he's the one who wrote it down and taught it to me at first. And, when you adopt that way of living, you become, in addition to getting healthier and getting better habits, you become kinder to yourself. And like that's an important part of life too. It's not all about, hemoglobin A1C and blood pressure. It's all about our quality of life as well. And so if I'm kinder to myself, it's much easier for me to shake off a slip up than if I, had a piece of cake that I didn't want to have, and now I spend the next 6 months beating myself up for it. So all these things kind of work together to build in us a mindset of growth and curiosity and forward progress.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in you've got to help love yourself in the way where you do great things. I find that when I talk to people about loving self and being good to yourself, some people, they have a real hard time. They don't know what to do, in fact, and I share that just going outside into the sun and being in nature, that is being good to yourself. And going for a walk with your little child, that's being good to yourself. And of course, if you can put good foods into your body, that's being good to yourself. I understand that you live on what's called an ecological farm in the rural areas of North Carolina. That's actually being great to yourself, Howard. I want to hear a little bit about what you've created there.
Oh, well, it's basically a large garden in which we're trying to do it in such a way that we're supporting and regenerating the environment and our soil. So instead of dumping in lots of pesticides or even using like fertilizer from the outside, we are trying to regenerate the land. It was an old cornfield before we bought it, and it was a conventional garden, so it was pretty depleted. So, we put in lots and lots of wood chips. My wife and I, we basically, instead of ambulance chasers, we are like tree company chasers. So whenever we see a truck with a tree company, we like flag them down and tell them, like point to our house and show them where they can dump the wood chips. So basically we're trying to get some food and some herbs from the land without costing anything, without withdrawing more than we're putting back in.
Wow, that's
absolutely
sustainable living.
Like, yeah. And you're right. It's, emotionally and mentally, like there's days I wake up and I'm just miserable and I'm full of anxiety, and none of that withstands a walk in nature. Being around trees, plants, birds, it is, it's something that's unfortunately missing from a lot of our lives. And, one of the great sources of healing that's way more powerful than humans and human society. Like, we've got all these allies out there. Let's go make use of them.
I know that you mentioned it earlier regarding people all around the world who live long lives, healthy long lives, the blue zones, if you will. And every one of them, what they all have in common is that you're outdoors in nature, you're working with earth, you're gardening, you're working out, exercising, moving in the outdoors. And that's a huge part of creating a healthy lifestyle so that you don't get one of these chronic diseases that we're all suffering from.
Right. That's exactly right. Because we have to flip the default. We think the default is human beings spending a lot of time indoors, sitting at desks, pushing papers or electrons. And then we wonder, and eating processed foods, and we wonder why we're not well. When you look at some of the blue zones, you see like human beings acting as the animals that we are. So we don't use the word exercise at WellStart Health. We talk about natural human movement, like birds fly, fish swim, kangaroos hop, snakes slithers. Human beings, unique among any other species, move bipedally. Like, we move on two legs really, really well, and we can do it for long distances. And we can walk, and we can run, and we can jog. and we can hike, and we can use our hands, and we can use our bodies. And so when you put all this together, the correct naturally attainable quantities of foods, along with the kind of movement that we would have had to do to survive, and you combine that with community and with nature, you get a human in their natural habitat naturally moving towards health.
That's right. I've been doing a lot of movement myself. I practice different forms of the self-defense, Tai Chi, as well as the Polynesian style of martial arts is Lima Lama. But what I really love all about that is that it creates functional patterns in your body that's natural to the human movement. That's what you're saying. Is that we walk, we climb, we lift, we push, right? We pull. These are our natural functional patterns of the way our body is meant to move. That's what keeps our body healthy and strong.
Right. And for most of human history, these were not optional behaviors. If you didn't, run away from the lion, you got eaten by the lion. If you didn't, cast your fishing net, you didn't eat. If you didn't climb the trees and pick the fruit, you didn't feed your family. So it wasn't like this stuff was optional and we had to decide in the morning whether we were going to the gym or not. In fact, what human beings, just as we evolved to eat as much as we can of rich foods, we also evolved to take advantage of rest whenever we can because it was so scarce in our natural environment. Whenever you could, it was prudent to rest. Now we have that same impulse, and we live in a world of spreadsheets and Netflix and Amazon dash buttons, and we could, literally lay around all day and not move an inch and have our needs met. And so, again, we're living in this unnatural world, so we have to go and do things like you do, like the martial arts and the movement and all that stuff. We have to kind of shoehorn it in, because the environment around us doesn't make it mandatory anymore.
Well said, well said. Where can people go and get a download of your book, Sick to Fit?
Right. Well, so it's on Amazon. It is, if you just type in Sick to Fit, you'll probably, they think you're going to say, you're looking for socks that fit, so you may have to correct them and say, no, I really want Sick to Fit. That's coming up for me less and less, I think, as the book gains some traction. It's available online at Kobo, at Barnes & Noble. You can also get a copy from our website. You can get a free PDF if you go to sick2.fit. And give us your email address. We'll send you a copy of the book. And that's sickto.fit. I just discovered last month that .fit is a new domain name. So I grabbed it for the book.
That's great. Awesome. Well, goodness. And then your website is called wellstarthealth.com.
Right.
Is that correct?
And that's our flagship 12-week sort of on-ramp to health, where we work with you on all these the different domains on, we call it menu, movement, mindset, stress, and sleep. And really the focus is on just what you were talking about earlier, the importance of learning how to develop good habits and learning how to build habits like you would build a muscle so that it becomes something that you work on consciously and intentionally, as opposed to the way most of us think of habits as, well, I'm either disciplined or I'm not. And if I'm not, there's no hope for me. So we teach that learning good habits is the same as learning how to play the piano or to do a martial art. You start as a beginner, you practice, and you get better, and you get better and better over time.
I love that too. I think that people, at least for me, with my patients, they think it's going to be a quick fix, and it's not. When you and I, I'm sure both of us, Howard, have been doing certain types of habits and having a specific mindset about what we put into our body, how we move. It's been years. It's been taking years. I've been gluten-free, dairy-free for more than 30 years, actually. So it's been part of my life, and that takes time. So don't be hard on yourself on you're not doing it exactly perfectly. You just, as Howard has said, do it little by little. Tiny habits work. 1% solution, and it just builds on and builds on it. And soon it will be part of who you really are as a person. And then it becomes easy. It's a no-brainer.
Right. Once it becomes who we are, right? So we start out by saying, well, I'm eating healthy today. And then we say, well, I eat healthy. And then we go to, well, I'm a healthy eater. And then we go to, I'm the sort of person who chooses healthy food to fuel my life. And once we get to that point, once it's an identity, it becomes second nature and we're no longer fighting against it.
Oh, well said. Thank you so much, Howard. This is a great, great show. And if anyone out there, you know, anyone of you suffering from chronic disease, please share this with them. It can definitely change their life. And you can also go to the wellstarthealth.com website and find out more about Dr. Howard's programs, because it can help you with many, many different steps on get to where you want to be. So you can share more life and love with your family and of course, a longer life. Now, if you haven't subscribed to this show, please do so. Our goal here is to help you feel better today and the most natural way. And please follow us on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I've been posting regularly. And I just want you guys all to be the best version of yourself through self-care and nutrition, kimchi and movement, and more. And you know what? I engage with you directly on Instagram, which means I will comment. I will respond to your comments personally. If you need to dig deeper into the root cause of your health issues, then please give us a call. You can find my information on my website, drsuzanne.com. We are talk to people all around the world on the phone or with a Skype. And until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.